Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Hey everyone, Will Cooper here, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. Join us as we dive deep into the world of hunting and outdoor pursuits. We've brought together some of the most accomplished individuals in the industry to share their invaluable insights and experiences with you. But here's the kicker. It's not just about hunting tips and tactics. We're exploring how you can carve your own path, elevate your skills, and gain some wisdom from the best in the field. So whether you're a seasoned hunter looking to fine-tune your skills or a newbie eager to learn, our podcast has something for everyone. Stay tuned for more exciting guests and hotter topics. Don't miss out and subscribe to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast today and start making your mark in the great outdoors.
Another guy replies to that and goes, yeah, he should call himself the informative fisherman. And I'm like, that is the biggest oxymoron you can use because all fishermen try to hide. The reason why bass fishing is my primary thing, it's Mother Nature's chess game. I want you to understand that the funnest time in bass fishing is learning. You can simply cast out there, take a sip of the beer, reel it in, cast to a new spot, take a sip of the beer, and you will catch bass. If you actually understand the dynamic of what's taking place beneath your feet, it opens up a whole new world for you. I just love doing comedy, and I love teaching people, man. I want people to learn and get out there with their kids, have fun. I want people to have success out there. What's up, guys? Nick here. Some people know me as the Informative Fisherman. You're listening to The Wild Initiative. This is a really cool podcast. My band's always talking about hunting, and he said, yeah, I love fishing too, and I got to have you on. I love joking, talking about fishing, so let's do it.
Put down your latte and pull on your boots.
I would rest at peace for eternity if my legacy was that I made a positive influence on the non-hunting public about what hunters are and what hunting is.
I finally got my buck on our last real day of hunting.
So a pro-hunting organization is voting against hunting. And that says anti-hunting to me.
There was a year straight where I was averaging up to 200 death threats a day.
I hugged it like I just wanted to hug a bear.
It's proven that the average steak in a grocery store touches 50 to 100 hands and machines. And we're putting that into our body.
Hey, y'all. Cable Smith, host of the Lone Star Outdoors Show here.
This is Adam Weatherby.
I'm Corey Jacobson with Elk 101.
This is Christy Titus.
Hey, folks. This is John Bear.
You're listening to The Wild Initiative.
All right, y'all, welcome to another episode of The Wild Initiative. I am sitting in, what kind of boat is this?
This is a Hughes Craft from Boat Country.
Well, I'm sitting in here at the International Sportsman's Expo in a Hughes Craft from Boat Country with the Informative Fisherman himself.
Hey, hey, hey.
Thanks so much for taking the time sitting down. I'm glad we were able to make it work out today.
Absolutely, brother. It's kind of funny when you're sitting in a boat in the middle of a crowd doing an interview. It may sound a little bit tinny for you guys, but this is about the quietest place we can find.
It works. You know, they're used to interruptions. I think the last one we had people sitting down enjoying food and some dogs joining us in the middle of the podcast.
Some obnoxious crunching sounds going on in the background. What is that crunching sound?
I did record one episode one time with a buddy, and we decided to record it at like a waffle breakfast joint, and so the whole time you hear us in the background munching on
the Have Waffles podcast. That crunching sound.
But so I always like to start out just with a little introduction of yourself. Tell us a little bit about you and how did you get introduced into this whole world of fishing?
You know, it's kind of funny, man, that you asked that. I was always really into fishing ever since, as long as I can remember, to be perfectly honest with you. And back before all the social media sites, we just had straight up websites and fishing forums. And a guy was on there one time and they just got low profile bait casting reels, believe it or not, on the island of Sri Lanka. And he writes a message, says, how do I use this centrifugal braking system? And if you don't know, I'll describe it to you guys who are listening. If you pop open the side, there's these little brakes on these bait casting reels or bass fishing reels, and you have to manually pop them out. So I try to write this super elaborate explanation. I'm about as good as writer as you're probably your dog sleeping next to you on the couch right now listening to this. And I try to read it back and I'm like, oh man, this is horrible.
So I asked my dad, I go over to his house and I go, hey, let me use that little digital camera you have on your shelf. And this, we're talking 13 years ago. And they took the little 20-second video clips. Remember that?
Yep.
And so I slap it together, and I go into Windows Movie Maker, Windows XP. You remember Windows XP?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I go on there. I slap it together, and I go on. And I remember someone showed me a funny video on YouTube. And I forget how long YouTube's been out, but there was, like, no fishing videos.
All I know is I remember when YouTube came out. And I remember looking at it. I'm like, you know, this is a cool idea. It's got videos on it. Right. I'm like, nobody's ever going to just put up content on YouTube.
Boy,
like,
and you were right.
I will admit when I was dumb about something and I was just way off. I remember swearing up and down. I'm like, this is great. It'll never catch on. Nobody's ever just going to put free videos up.
Yep.
Like, you're never going to find content you want.
It's funny, though, because I felt kind of the same way, and then I fell into it. So I make this video. I stick it up there, show it to the guy. He's like, oh, great, man. Thanks a lot. Well, 3 months later, he writes me an email, and he goes, hey, did you see how many views that video has? And I just go, no. So, of course, I forgot my password. You know, like everybody does, they forget their password. So I go on there, and I get logged back in. And this was under my personal name, not even under the Informative Fisherman name. There was like 60 or 61,000 views.
Jeez. And especially back then. That's crazy.
Comments everywhere. Because Google was looking at YouTube, so I guess being one of the very few people on there, that's kind of just how it went. So I start reading the comments. Dude's like, that was super informative. The video quality sucked. And I'm like, well, yeah, man, I did it with a little digital camera. And it was funny because I'm reading the comments. The guy goes, yeah, really informative. And then another guy replies to that. And he goes, yeah, he should call himself the Informative Fisherman. And I'm like, that is the biggest oxymoron you can use, because all fishermen try to hide. Like, if you know some secret, like, well, they're trying to hide it, man. And I'm like, you know what? I can make a career out of this. So I said, okay, guys, I'm going to do that name. So I started the YouTube channel, Informative Fisherman, and occasionally just put up a how-to on there. And I was always into elaborately breaking things down, looking into the science and research behind these techniques. But people were asking for generalized tutorials on how to do things because they were beginners. And I said, well, I'll do one or two of those a month. So I did that for a while, and it started gaining a ton of notoriety. I had some big advertisers reach out and said, hey, man, how much does it cost to stick an ad in front of your video? And I'm like, you want to put an ad in front of my video? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, $50. And they're like, okay, put us down for two. And I'm like, oh. A few months later, how much does that cost? $250. And like, believe it or not, man, like I was doing it part-time here and there for a couple years in the beginning. And then it exploded, man, and I'm going full-time, 11 years. I was the first full-time fishing YouTuber.
That's awesome,
now, I know you
man.
Didn't know that, because I know you recently started watching.
Yeah, and we were talking before, and to be honest, yeah, I was not familiar with you until I initially started doing some research on who's going to be speaking here. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I was scrolling down. I kind of checked out. I read like the little bio. I'm like, so I went and checked out. So I'm like, this guy, I got to talk to this guy. He's fun.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, man. Like, I was always like, I always want to get into stand-up comedy, right? But then I'm like, I'm not the best joke deliver guy, but I like to screw with my guests. And my father's the videographer of my show, and I can't help it, but I just start screwing around and joking. It drives my wife insane. And my dad too. He's like, are you going to take anything serious today? Which is funny, because I built a career off teaching people, but all I do is joke around the whole time. And man, I think it just went over really well, man. We released some huge comedies last year. I think it was the number one video of 2019 for fishing videos. It was called Tip Down. Did you get a chance to see that one?
I did not see that one.
So if you go on Facebook or YouTube and type in Tip Down, it was this extreme video. And in fishing, every time you hook a fish and the lure's heavy, you start wanting to force your tip down to prevent that fish from jumping and having leverage and shaking the lure off its mouth. So I told my buddy one day, it's like epiphany. We're out there fishing. Boom, a little light goes off in my head. And I'm like, bro, are you down to get wet? And he's like, I guess. And I'm like, just go with this. And like, dude, we exaggerate it so much. I'm holding him by his ankles. His head's under the water. Then I throw him in. He swims to the bottom of the lake and while trying to keep the fish on, sticks the rod down in the mud. I swim down, still yelling, tip down. It just exploded, man. On my Facebook, in like 3 months, it was just under 1 million views. It was shared everywhere. It was crazy. And we were just screwing around and having fun. And I just love doing comedy, and I love teaching people, man. I want I want people to learn and get out there with their kids, have fun. I want people to have success out there. It's so much fun enjoying the fruits of what Mother Nature has to offer, man. And it's everywhere. It doesn't matter where you go in the world. You can go in a dirty pond behind Walmart and catch a bass, a catfish, or a carp. You can go to the most exotic places and you can go do it. And just fishing in general, just be able to throw a lure or soak a piece of bait out there and have something pounded on the other end. It's like winning the lottery, man.
I'll tell you, one of the best times I ever had fishing was down in Arizona with some buddies. We hit up just an old cattle pond full of carp, and sweet. We just sat there jack poling with hot dog, with slices of hot dog, had a basket full of beers. We didn't even have a cooler with us. We were like, ah, crap, we forgot the cooler. Ah, they'll stay cold long enough.
You better title this one Hot Beer and Carp Fishing.
Hot Beer and Carp Fishing.
Woo, everybody's favorite things.
Woo, howdy.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, that was one of the best times I've ever had fishing, because you're sitting there, there's zero thought put into it. You're just hooking on a hot dog, dropping it in, and by the time you get your beer to your mouth, something's pulling on it.
Still fun, man.
so much fun.
Yeah. That's what we're in it for, man. Oh, the fun. Yeah.
So you're not allowed to say all of them. That's a cop out. But what's the what's the preferred type of fishing? If you had to do one thing, one for the rest of your life.
I consider myself a much more of a scientific angler. I'm all about the broad science of Mother Nature and the dynamics she involved. Which changes the way a bass thinks. So in regards to bass, there's largemouth, spotted bass, smallmouth bass. Those are your primary bass, but largemouth bass is the most popular one, no matter where you go around the country. Everybody's fishing for largemouth bass. So I do tons of research, different techniques, different scientists, different science aspects from it, from looking at the way barometric pressure affects it, ultraviolet. I did a huge study on UVA light and the way fish see at certain depths in dirty water, and the way I believe it's called Udean or Udean protein, which fish have in their eyes, which actually sees the reflection of ultraviolet from the slime coat of other fish.
I've heard about that. Like, that's one of those weird things you like randomly pick up from like a Facebook video or something. And I've heard about that.
Well, the crazy part about this, you know, those swordfish that they catch down in 1,000+ feet, like they still have eyes and they're like, there is zero light down there, but they've figured out that they're ultraviolet hunters and they actually don't see what the other fish looks like. It actually looks like a disco ball to them.
Huh.
And it's funny because when you look at the UVA spectrum and our colors, you hear about UV colors and all this and that, but white is the only actual color that we can see that reflects UVA light. And UVA is the same one that burns our skin. You know, if you go out and the UVA is less than 4, you're not going to get a sunburn. You may get a decent tan, but once you start getting 5, 6, 7, you're going to get that sunburn easier, and it's going to happen in a faster time frame. One day I forgot to put on sunblock. I was out in a UV 11, and I almost vomited. When I got home, it was horrible. I felt like I climbed out of a microwave. It was about the worst thing. So that's it for me. You know, I do a lot of basic outline, like how to bass fish, how to sturgeon fish, how to fish bass in the winter, what fishing mistakes are you making? And I do a lot of that general tutorial style aspect for YouTube and Facebook and Instagram with the Informative Fisherman branding. And that's kind of funny how the name came about, but I took it on and I embraced it, man. Most people call me If. Like when we walk around the show, you'll hear, hey, If, you know, they just abbreviate it. Yeah. But for me, man, it's I just love doing it. I love hearing the feedback. I love hearing that someone went out who has been struggling to catch them or took their son or their daughter out and caught them. And I know I changed the direction of a person's life. You know, being able to appreciate the outdoors is something that we've had forever. You know, and this is something, a fish is going to be there. He doesn't change with time. The fish is not playing on his tablet, you know, that evening. He's still out there doing the same thing they did hundreds of years ago. And the way that species behaves due to the time of year, due to the wind, due to the moon phase, due to the sun phase, you know, doing from runoff, from the rains, like they're so intricate. And the reason why bass fishing is my primary thing, it's Mother Nature's chess game. And bass fishing is the biggest enigma. You can go out in the first 2 hours, figure it out. You can start developing these puzzle pieces like, I know the moon phase, I knew this, I know this pattern, the fish should be here. And you'll start assembling a puzzle that's 50% full. And as you start to look at that bigger picture, you kind of know where the next piece falls into place. Well, all of a sudden, a front moves in and it starts raining. Rip your puzzle apart. and start to put it back together. And that's what bass fishing is. It's not that they're the hardest fighting fish. It's not that they're the biggest fish. It's that they are everywhere and they are moody, moody creatures, you know, and you look at bass fishing, you're like, dude, there's 10,000 plus lures out there. Lures, I tell people, lures are a tool to get bass to react. Lures are to look like what the bass wants to eat. And then you have lures that'll force them to instinctually react. Instinctually react is the way the behavior of the lure makes erratic movement to where they're like wounded fish and they grab it. Natural reaction is like if I go to throw a tennis ball at your face, you're going to reach up and slap it away. So there's lures that are very fast that will trigger them to react and smack it because they don't have hands. A bass with hands would be pretty entertaining looking, though. And then you have natural, when bass are willing to feed. You know, just like us, we have, you know, 3 meals a day. And bass, he could eat a big meal once a day. So if you take 100 bass and you stick them all in one pond, the chances are fishing all day, sun up to sun down, is 30% at best. You might get a shot at 30% of the population if they're all willing to feed breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So it's a game of calculated decisions according to the puzzle pieces that you can acquire with fishing knowledge. So I love it. It's the most scientific game that Mother Nature has to offer, in my opinion.
So for someone that's just getting into fishing, would you recommend bass fishing or?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll tell you why. The better you get at bass fishing, the more it applies to all fishing. A lot of fish, there are some very intricate species like steelhead, rainbow trout and lakes can be a little bit tricky too. But day in and day out, there's a much smaller list of lures that'll work consistently. With bass fishing, there's much more literature on the subject. And believe it or not, a lot of that transitions over. Bass are just a predator. You have other species that are scavengers, like your catfish. Then you have trout, which are scavengers slash predator. And the bigger the trout, the more of a predator he becomes. So the content that you're going to read about for bass fishing applies to predators for the most part. Not all, but striped bass, pike, muskie, big trout, a lot of that applies. And you'll be amazed on how well it carries over. I see guys from the bass fishing world that come out and they go to like muskie fish or big rainbow trout fish. And they're like, I don't know how to catch these things. Next thing you know, they're smacking them. So, and it's just about having the knowledge. And for me, I don't preach like, oh, you have to use this lure this time of year. I don't want you to know that. I want you to know how the bass is behaving that time of year. What's the water temperature that he's behaving like? So I teach that. And now your brain will formulate that calculated decision of what lure to pick instead of me saying, just use this time of year. Because it puts too much hope and guesswork and you're digging through notes. And if you actually understand the dynamic of what's taking place beneath your feet, it opens up a whole new world for you.
So say somebody like me, you know, I grew up, like we were talking earlier, I grew up fishing the same lake, same rock for rainbow trout the whole time in my life. I know exactly how to, the size of hook to put on that, exactly how much weight, exactly how long of a leader to get up above the grass, mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
exactly the two colors of power bait that they're most likely hit on.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I've ever caught a single trout on a lure in that lake, but you know, so I have a general idea of fishing. I know how a rod and reel works,
sure.
You know, a spin rod. I've tried it a few other times, a few other places. I know the concept of how to work a lure. But say, like, I want to start getting into bass fishing. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that sounds awesome.
Absolutely.
Like, where do I go from here?
So, now, what you just heard me talk about sounds very complicated. And it can be as complicated as you want or as easy as you want. You know what a Senko is?
I have no idea.
A Senko is about a 5-inch thing that looks like a chopstick, but it comes in different colors. And it's about 3 times as fat as a chopstick.
Okay.
It's a straight plastic worm, okay? Bunch of different companies make them. They're just a straight worm. Soft plastic, 5-inch piece of worm that looks like a fat chopstick. You can take a size hook from 4 to 2 to 1 to 1/0 to 2/0. That's the spectrum right there. There's a 1/0 and there's a 1. And from the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, it gets smaller. And then you go 1/0, 2/0, 3/0. Those are getting bigger. So there's that 1 and there's 2 sides of the fence.
Okay.
So that 2/0 through down to 1 and back up to size 4, you can take that hook. with that straight worm in the middle. You could stick it right through the middle of that worm to where it's dangling on there. Just like right, hook right in the middle of the worm. It's the ugliest looking thing. It's called a wacky rig. Okay, that's what we're calling it. We're sticking the hook right through the middle of the worm. The hook point's sticking right out. For those of you listening right now, it's just how you imagine it. Stick out your index finger, stick the hook through the bottom of your knuckle and out the top. That is a wacky rig. Use anywhere from 6-pound test line to 15-pound test line on any rod you own, and go cast that around any little grass line or little lily pads on any lake or around any boulder. That rig works year-round, and that thing catches a ton of fish. That is the wacky rig. That is about the easiest rig you can use in all of bass fishing, and it's good. There is days where I will go out and some beginner will throw the wacky rig and they will start out fishing me. But that doesn't mean it's going to catch the biggest and the most every day. But it is literally the easiest bass fishing rig to get started with. And from there, you know, you can get much more into it. If you search.
With a wacky rig really quick, with something like that, is that just a drop in weight kind of rig?
Cast it out, let it fall.
So you're not using that like as a lure. You're not doing weird stuff
you
with
can
it.
Shake kinda... it. You can shake it and it'll twitch up and down just like your finger folding in half. If your index finger's reaching, touching your palm, like every time you shake it, that worm's going to fold in half and kind of do a little twitchy thing, like something falling out of a tree twitching as it falls to the bottom. But you can simply cast out there, take a sip of a beer, shake it, take a sip of the beer, reel it in, cast to a new spot, take a sip of the beer, and you will catch bass. I'm not playing, man. It is that simple, brother. I am telling you. And yes, as simple as you want to do in bass fishing, that's it. That's it. If you're just getting into it, go out and have fun. Don't complicate it on yourself whatsoever. Go out, do the wacky rig. Now, if you really like doing that and you had some fun doing that, YouTube search beginner bass fishing informative fisherman. I have like a 1-hour tutorial that teaches you all the beginner stuff. I should have charged $500 for the thing, but I want people to learn, man.
Yeah.
And it'll show you that wacky rig, okay? It'll show you two other rigs, and it'll show you some different ways to look for them in lakes, look for them in rivers, and some time of year stuff, and what you should try doing. And then go from there. It's a fun world to be in, guys. It is, I'm telling you, this is not for the physically fit. I got a big belly. I'm a tall, lanky dude with a big belly and a fat neck. My wife, I'm sure, would appreciate me becoming more physically fit, but this is a psychological, this is a mental game. This is just an advanced chess game with Mother Nature. That's all it is, man. And the more puzzle pieces you acquire, the easier it becomes. And that's the reality. I can go out there and, you know, every now and then you get lucky and someone catches a real big one. But the bigger the lure you use, there's fewer fish in the lake that'll eat that, but it appeals to the bigger fish. You know, you look at you and I right here. I'm 6'6". How tall are you?
6 even.
Six even. So I probably am going to eat a little bit more than you or a bigger meal than you. To where if you put up a regular whopper and a double whopper and you put them 20 feet away from us, I may not go for that regular whopper. You might because you're a little bit smaller than me. But my fat butt is going to go for that double whopper. So you see what I'm saying? If you're going around the lake casting the double whopper, there's a lot more of you and smaller than there is me. But if you want to catch me, you may need to appeal to me with that double whopper. Get what I'm saying there?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a general analogy of the science of what's taking place in that water. And that goes for a lot of species. You know, a bass is not going to be big and fat if he's on a treadmill all day. If you hand a bass a French fry every 30 minutes, do this. I'm on a treadmill, all right? You're looking at me. I'm jogging on the treadmill. You're like, what are we doing in your room on your treadmill? I'm just going to turn on Discovery Channel. I'm up there jogging. You hand me a French fry every 30 minutes. Am I still losing weight or am I putting on weight?
Yeah, it depends on how fast you're running, but effectively you're breaking even probably.
Okay, this man knows. I just wanted a simple answer here. I just wanted you to say, yeah, you're still losing weight. Okay, but now I get to sit there and you hand me a French fry every 30 minutes. I'm going to get fat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if I'm running on there and you're handing me a double whopper every 30 minutes, I'm still getting fat.
you're working that thing up in about 10 minutes.
And I'm puking and the place is a total mess. We just got to get out of there now. It smells bad.
Why are we in your room running in the first place?
I told you, don't make this weird. Now you're just making it weird, bro. I was creating a scenario.
Where's the nearest door in this boat? I'm glad it's not on the water.
Yeah, man. But, you know, it's that right there. A lot of people don't think about that if a big bass has to travel for a small meal frequently, sure, if it lands in his lap. And I'm gonna give you another analogy right here. After Thanksgiving dinner, you're stuffed, man. You want to take a nap. You're laying on the couch, but your girlfriend, your wife, she goes, hey, we got pumpkin, we got apple pie. And you're like, I don't know. Well, I'm going to melt some vanilla ice cream on top. And she hands it to you. You eat the whole bowl. Mm-hmm. I can't help it. I eat the whole bowl and I feel sick. Okay. That's because it landed in my lap. But you've already located me. You knew I was on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've seen that big bass. You've seen him miss a big topwater lure, or you threw a giant bait and you felt him hit it. Well, now you know that bass lives there. When if let's say it was January, like now, or February, whenever.
Mm-hmm.
They bit it. You know what time of day they bit it. You know where they bit it. And guess who has a new giant bass spot? You do, because you're willing to try something big. And another time in the wintertime, the bass all school up to where if you use a tiny lure, it appeals to more bass. But if I catch a tiny one, I'll pull out a big lure and throw it there because the big one may have not landed in the big one's lap. He could have been 10 foot over next to the smaller ones he was schooled up with. I throw that giant double whopper out there, that T-bone steak. Big mama's like, oh, hello, and cruises over and eats that. And this is just, it seems like common sense, but this is just broad fishing knowledge. And this is generalized science. You know, these fish aren't reading books. They're not studying us. They have a small brain, and we got to use as much scientific research is out there. And this applies to so much of fishing. And I think a lot of the literature out there is telling you this lure for this time of year, this lure for this condition. And yes, that applies, but I would much rather the viewer know why.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you go in a little bit deeper and this lure for this time of year, generally that will work. But if you know the reason that lure works for that time of year, when the situation changes slightly,
you can then
adjust, and you can call that audible.
Uh-huh, absolutely. See, I got it. My message came across loud and clear.
I'm getting it. I'm reading what you're putting out here.
You smelling what I'm cooking over there?
Oh, is that cooking?
We're downwind of the food booths right here too, guys.
Oh man, there's some. Uh-huh. The only time I ever eat hot dogs is when I come to these things.
Dude, I was gonna wait in the hot dog line, but there was like 500 freaking people. So I went to the Thai food booth. My wife's from Southeast Asia. She's Lao. Okay, so I know my Thai food, and I go over there, and they're like, orange chicken. I'm like, man, that is Chinese food. And the guy's like, yeah, man, but don't tell nobody. I'm like, it's not a secret, bro. It's not a secret. And then he's like, you want that? I'm like, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't mean I don't like orange chicken.
So
come on.
I eat the Thai orange chicken. It's all batter too. It's totally Chinese food, man, but it was good. It was good. I'm not complaining.
Oh, man. Now I'm hungry again.
Let's
get back to talking fish.
Let's get one of the funnel cake things too, man.
I do not need to go spend another $17 on lunch.
On one dessert.
So what are maybe, so say somebody's putting together their first bass rig. You know, we've got the initial, wacky rig.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're like, okay, you know, I want to put together a more full-fledged, maybe I want to buy a new rod and reel. What are some of the things they want to consider, take into consideration?
You're going to love this. You guys are going to think this is absolutely staged from what he just asked me. I own my own rod company. See my hat? STIX, Sticks. These are six multi-purpose rods that I design. In bass fishing, everybody designs a rod for this, that. And I own probably 160, 170 rods. I don't use them anymore. I design six rods to do everything, to fish every lure there is in bass fishing. All multi-purpose. Now, the reason why I did this is I travel a ton. I needed it to be convenient on me. And usually I was grabbing five or six of my favorite rods anyways. I'm not carrying 100 plus rods on a boat. That's ridiculous. So I'm like, dude, I want to design this. And one of my buddies like, dude, let's start the rod company. And I'm like, no way. And a little over 2 years ago now, we started Stix Fishing, STIXfishing.com. The rods are all sold out right now. So hopefully by the time you guys are hearing this, you can go check it out for yourselves. Dude, we got buy them and try them. If you try them out, you don't like them, you can return them. I'll eat the shipping. Like, it's online only. I keep the cost way down. All six for $500 or $100 a pop.
Nice.
But if you are just getting started, and the question I get all the time in my email is, what's the first bass rod I should own? And I said, well, are you comfortable with a spinning reel? Have you ever used a bait casting reel? And they're like, most people are like, oh, I've, you know, I'm just brand new to fishing. So I say, you're going to want a spinning setup. So the number two rod in our lineup is the hybrid spin. I designed that to be the most versatile spinning rod you can use for bass fishing. And it goes and it fits into the full six lineup to where if you buy the number two, which is that hybrid spin, you're going to get used to using that. And as you want to learn the other things, you can fill in the blanks until you have a complete set. From there, the next Rex rod you should own is the number three, and that's the hybrid cast. That's the bait casting version.
We
and
won't talk about my bait casting experience.
Yeah, it might be pretty horrid.
It was... Every time I thought I got it, no, I didn't get it.
Yeah. Well, I got a video for that, too, bro. I got one for that, too.
My buddy Locke can attest to how much time I actually spent fishing.
You know,
the difference
is between the two of those, you can use much heavier lures on a bait caster than you can a spinning rod. You can use bigger line, heavier line to where you can pull harder. If the fish is down in a tree, when he hooks it and he swims down in a tree in a spinning rod, you may be in trouble. Versus if he hooks it, swims down in a tree in a bait caster, you need to be able to pull him out. Mm-hmm. You got to leverage him out. So that's the bigger difference. Bait casters for your much bigger lures. Your spinning setups are for your much smaller lures. But in the wintertime, bass go deep, and you got to use those small lures, and a spinning rod's much easier to fish, man. So if you guys are listening to this winter, get that spinning rod, get that wacky rig, get out there and work them.
Go fishing this winter. Yeah. Go bass deep.
Just be cold. Enjoy that crispiness.
So then maybe talking about lure selection. Yeah. If somebody, you know, they're like, okay, you know, I know I don't want to have to go buy 100 different lures for all this stuff.
Absolutely.
Where do I even start?
So where you're going to start is that a worm like that. I have no affiliation with Yamamoto. They have a 5-inch Senko. The color you want is green pumpkin. 5-inch green pumpkin Senko is the one you're going to do this wacky rig worm on. Right off the bat, that's what you're going to use. The first hard lure you want to own is a square bill crankbait, and you want to get it in a dark red color. Dark red color looks like a crawdad, and in the spring months, depending on where you live, I live in Northern California, so if you live in the South, this may be a little sooner. Could be late winter for you guys that square bill is going to work. And a square bill is a little hard plastic with a little square piece on the front of it, and it's called a crankbait, a square bill crankbait, and it wiggles and deflects off the rock. So you can cast it and reel it in to where you can move down the shoreline fast if you're bank fishing, or cast it up to the shore and reel it in fast with the boat. From there, you move into summertime. Like I said, that wacky rig's going to work all summer long. But in the summertime, bass love to eat topwater. This is where you want to get yourself a soft plastic frog, and you want to throw it up on the scummiest stuff you see. Grass sticking out of the water, bushes sticking out of the water. It's a ton of fun. You'll catch big ones, and you have your wacky rig with you, have that frog with you. But as summer rolls around, the grass is going to grow. The square bill's not going to work as good, but your frog and your wacky rig's going to work great. In the fall, your frog's still going to work great. The wacky rig's still going to work great, but this is where you want to pick up like a spinner bait. In a white color that look like shad. A lot of lakes, the shad start balling up in the fall, and you'll see bass splashing against the surface. What they're doing is trapping bait fish. So that frog loses its luster, but a little spinner bait or a little Bill Lewis rattle trap, you remember what a rattle trap is? They're in every Walmart. It looks like a shiny little fish. Throw that out there. Get yourself the 3/8-ounce size. You can make a long cast on your spinning rod or your bait caster and reel it through all that commotion you see out there, and you will hammer the bass. Wintertime rolls back around. That wacky rig you have, you just have to cast, and you have to be patient and let it get to the bottom. Mm-hmm. They're down there on the bottom. One other very, very simple rig you can learn in the wintertime is a Ned rig. It's a hook with a little lead head on it, and you can use any little 3-inch or less plastic. You stick it on there. It's an exposed hook. Looks like a pencil eraser, a lead. Little tiny hook sticking out the back of there, and you thread your little plastic on it there. N-E-D rig. You guys can YouTube any of that stuff. Very easy for you guys to go out and catch fish and get started. You're gonna have an absolute blast.
All right, so we got the rod and reel, we got the lures. What else do we need to consider?
You need to consider that don't set your expectations high. I mean this.
I really do mean it.
And if you tell yourself you're trying to get one bite, and I want you to understand that the funnest time in bass fishing is learning. I've done it my whole life. Now, when I don't do very well, I'm like, And a lot of people are like, man, I wish I had a day like that. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. Man, I had fun. I was out there fishing. I still caught them. I didn't produce to my standards. But, you know, that's how it went. You know, and that was the day I was given. Maybe everybody struggled that day to catch them. So the harder it is, the more you will learn. Pay attention. Relax. Just stay comfortable. Don't have huge expectations. Just tell yourself you're going to go enjoy it outside. And if one of these bass bite your lure, hey, man. You know, when you catch it, pull out your phone, take a picture. Don't keep it out of the water too long. Toss her back in because those bass get us paid. Mm-hmm. A lot of us fishermen make money off catching big bass. And if you want to eat bass, try not to eat anything over 3 pounds, please. Because the 3-pounders generally are going into the live well and they get us checks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that you said that because one of the things, you know, if anybody that's been listening to my podcast for a while knows, one of the big things I talk about in a lot of the episodes is your measures of success when you go out.
Yeah.
Like with hunting, you know, if you go out your very first time hunting with a bow and you expect to get a Boone and Crockett level giant bull elk.
And I don't even know what probably, that is. That's
it's like the kind of one of the pinnacle things.
Okay,
you know, it's
it.
Like the biggest big old bull elk out there. You're going to be pretty sorely disappointed. However, if you go out and you're like, you know what? I just want to have an encounter. I just want to callable in or whatever that
right.
is. That's kind of the equivalent of just I just want to get a bite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you if that's a successful trip, then anything past that is just icing on the cake.
Have realistic standards because you don't develop expectations and you'll actually be more focused having realistic standards. That's so true, man. And I know you told me that you were into shoot and release hunting, which is really cool because I'm into catch and release. I'm just kidding. He's like, I never said that.
I was waiting for the pun. I'm like, okay, don't mouth out.
It's great. You just shoot it with the arrow. You take the arrow out. You put a Band-Aid on the sucker. He goes about his business.
I don't know. I know some people that I'm pretty sure that's how they hunt, but
I think if you can pull it out and they run off, chances are you weren't getting to that arrow to begin with.
Man, they ran off. I don't want to try. I'm like, oh, come on. we got a long 4 days ahead of us now.
Yeah, you better go find that animal. Yeah. You shoot it, you better eat that thing. That's all I got to say. My father raised me that way, man.
Yep.
I remember I shot a dove out in our backyard with my BB gun growing up. My dad goes, you ready to clean it, need it? I'm like, no.
What?
And he's like, I don't care what you shoot. We're eating it out here. If you want to shoot it and kill it, we're taking that animal, you know. And I'm like, okay, you know, and that built it into me. And I remember our dog was getting old, and he's like, okay, you got to shoot the dog. And then we ate the dog. I'm just kidding, man. I'm just kidding. You were looking at me so serious.
It took a second. The funny thing is, it like took a second to process what you were saying.
Like, no,
I heard it.
No, he didn't.
I heard it in my mind, and then I'm like, and then by the time I realize you're messing with me, I'm like, wait, what?
See, my delivery was
still,
good, though.
I was still back on the dove for a second.
Wait,
I was like, I'm a little
dove.
Slow.
Didn't he shot – wait, they ate the dog? Yeah. I mean,
I know some people.
He was a good dog, and he was a good tasting dog.
I mean, I'm also I also have friend.
No, I never shot my dog. We're just going to clarify that.
I do have a good friend that has a great bobcat coyote barbacoa recipe. So I mean, it's effectively a cat and dog barbacoa recipe.
Sounds delicious to me, man.
To be honest, I've made that with some very tough, very strange varieties of game, and that is one of my favorite recipes of all time.
Yeah, I'm down to try it, man. You let me know.
I'll give you a call. So if folks wanted to follow along with all the shenanigans, where are they going to find you online?
YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. I actually just made a TikTok. My oldest daughter and my wife said, Dad, you need a TikTok, which is funny. It seems kiddy
I'm
to me.
I'm still trying to figure it out.
No, it's actually pretty cool,
I've
man.
Heard it is.
Yeah. So Informative Fisherman on any of those platforms, informativefisherman.com. That's INFORMATIVE Fisherman, MAN, not MEN at Fisherman. I know a lot of people get that confused, and that's .com, and that'll take you back to all my social media platforms.
Fantastic.
Anytime I post something, I generally answer all the comments within the first 24 hours. After that, it gets a little bit overly consuming, so don't think that I was being negative. I do read all the comments. So after that, if you want to say something, I appreciated it. If it's something very interesting, I will make it a point to answer if I think other people can gain from it. And
I'm really sorry about that one comment, by the way.
Yeah, don't sweat it, man. It's no big deal. He'll be all right. We're pretending on that one, too, guys. That was also a joke. We're going to put that one out there.
As
no,
we're
man, I appreciate it. Yeah.
All right. So if maybe, you know, maybe you ran into someone that just kind of happened to be checking out this expo, or somebody randomly came across a video of yours and they reached out, they're talking to you, they're like, hey, man, you know, all this fishing stuff sounds really cool, but there's... You know, I know you kind of talked about how to get started, whatever, but there's just that's just too much. I have no background, no history in this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's too intimidating for me. What kind of words of wisdom or encouragement would you give that person to kind of get them over that hump?
That it's not the most complicated everything out there. You're just going to go take a walk. You're going to go take a walk the side of the lake. You're going to go enjoy Mother Nature, and you're just going to make some cast. It doesn't matter if you get bit or not. Just going out there and casting is gratifying. I don't know where you're listening to this right now, guys, but I've been all over this country. Any lake you get out to, any pond, any creek disconnects you from the mundane stresses of life. And just allow yourself to listen to the birds, listen to the water, listen to the wind. It's amazing. Mother Nature is an incredible thing. And, you know, we're natural. And this is, we're just a complicated animal. Take away the stresses of work. Take away all that. Just go out there and enjoy yourself, man. That's really what it's all about. You don't need to be the next superstar fisherman. If you want to, great. But you don't need to. Just enjoy yourself. That's what it's all about, man.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you sitting down, taking the time out of a pretty busy Saturday at the Expo.
I'm enjoying this. I get to sit down.
I was going to say you're not standing and selling at the moment.
Yes,
so
it
nice
feels
little,
good. Feels really good.
Nice little break. But I appreciate you taking the time and hopping on.
Absolutely, brother. And I greatly appreciate all your listeners tuning into this, man. It's really cool for the people who listen to the podcast. And this guy seems to be a great dude. This is going to be the first podcast of his I'm going to hear. Hopefully, maybe I get this guy to take me out hunting, and then it could be an extra embarrassing video for people to watch.
There we could. That's something we could definitely do.
Thanks for having me on, brother. Greatly appreciate it, man.
Absolutely. All right, y'all, that'll do it for another episode of The Wild Initiative. Make sure you check out the show notes page at thewildinitiative.com. Get links to everything we talked about in today's episode. Had a lot of fun. This will do it for this week. But until next time, I hope this episode inspired you to get involved, get outdoors, and plan your initiative for the wild.
Thank you for listening to The Wild Initiative. Please take a moment to leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher. And head on over to thewildinitiative.com to get show notes, check out the blog, gear discounts, other podcasts from the Wild Initiative family, and more.
Hey everyone, Will Cooper here, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. Join us as we dive deep into the world of hunting and outdoor pursuits. We've brought together some of the most accomplished individuals in the industry to share their invaluable insights and experiences with you. But here's the kicker. It's not just about hunting tips and tactics. We're exploring how you can carve your own path, elevate your skills, and gain some wisdom from the best in the field. So whether you're a seasoned hunter looking to fine-tune your skills or a newbie eager to learn, our podcast has something for everyone. Stay tuned for more exciting guests and hotter topics. Don't miss out and subscribe to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast today and start making your mark in the great outdoors.
Once in a while, it's fun to go like just full-blown redneck on these fish. This is like high-tech cane pole fishing right here.
From the white sandy beaches to the crystal blue waters, enjoy the best fishing Panama City Beach has to offer during Chasing the Sun. Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.